With the help of the Lord, I would like to read out of the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians, chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, verily puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, from which all the body, by the joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. And wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are we subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, and handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a shew of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor of the satisfying of the flesh. May God bless the reading of the word. Let us bow before him in prayer. We have read an account here of a letter written to the church of Colossae by the Apostle Paul, and he encourages them to and exhort them to be consistent in Christ. And as I contemplated and thought about this, it came to my mind that we as the believers in Christ, we are the body of Christ. We are a part of him. And the scripture oft times refers to
the body of Christ in many different letters that Paul had wrote. We being children of God, we understand that we are a part of this body of Christ. The scriptures also use in other places different words that he uses for to identify us, and one of them is that we are his bride. We're going to be his bride. The church is his bride, chosen by him. And if you think about that, he has chosen us because he has individually chosen us one by one. I reflect back on the time when I was converted. There were 9 souls that was taken up at that time. And it was all because of the death of one man that died, and suddenly in an automobile accident. And because of that, there were 9 souls that have surrendered and given their life to the Lord. We read in the book of Acts, there's times when there's as many as 3,000 that were baptized, brought into the church, brought into to the body of believers. So you see, there's no certain number. Lord willing, we're looking forward this weekend to 2 souls. There's no set number that God calls us, and then that there's, but it's all one at a time. And so, as he encourages us here, that we need to be, as he says here, that our hearts need to be comforted and being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the fullness of understanding, and to the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdoms and knowledge. You see, in Christ, we as believers have opportunity. We have access to this knowledge and to this mystery because of the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we have been baptized, we was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Every one of us that are believers have been baptized this way. We understand what that means. And if the Lord's willing, we plan to exercise that also this coming weekend. And so that puts us into a category, if you will, of followers of Christ, believers in Christ, his body, his bride. However you want to word this, you and I are a part of this. And we need to keep that in mind. Because if and when we don't, we have a tendency to drift and fade and get into other things and aspects of our life that really ought not to be. And he exhorts the believers in Colossae, if we look into the next chapter where he talks about them, as he says, and now put off all these anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth and so forth. All of these things that we have become dead to. And so he exhorts us that we're to put them off. And as Christ said to us, then we must take up our cross and follow him daily. Which means then that we put off all these things that so easily, as they write in the Romans, these sins that so easily beset us. And so we live our lives, as he puts it in Romans 7, as he writes to the Romans, and he talks about this battle between the flesh and between the spirit. And how we all well know what that is. Those of us that have been converted, those of us that are Christ's children, we know what that means. And so we have a daily, if you will, a daily responsibility to keep, to put off all of these things. And to put on, as he says here, to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering,
forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. This is part of our lives. This is part of what we're to live daily. This is part of our cross that we're to bear on a daily time. That's just the way it is. And so when he addresses this church, he brings it to their attention that they're to be consistent in this love for Christ, in this love for the church, love for one another. And this is what I believe he's telling us here. Even as he said, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Building up. You see, this has to be a daily basis. How do we build ourselves up? One of the ways is come here, we visit, we communicate, we encourage one another. We have fellowship in Christ. That's one way that we do it. One of the ways also we can do it is by reading God's word, meditating on it, that we might be able to build up one another in the faith. And this is, brothers and sisters, this is what God expects of us. And so as we read these things here, where he encourages us here, but he reminds us, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. So you see, the adversary of our soul, this is what he would like to do. As he puts it here, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And sometimes I believe that we have a tendency to then, with the traditions that we have, we look at this as doctrinal issues. They're not. They're not doctrinal issues. Some of the traditions that we have, and not to say that they're good or bad, I'm not saying that. Some of them are good, but some of them are to me, unnecessary already. But we can't be fooled with this vain deceit and this philosophy that can go around. And before you know it, we're confused with doctrine and with tradition. And as a result of that, failing to be grounded and built up together, as he puts it here. And have not been able to put off all these things that we read about and put on the bowels of mercy and love and so on. You see how Satan can twist these things around for us and get us so confused with vain philosophies and deceit? It's something that we have to guard against all the time. And this is what I believe he's pointing out to us here in this book of Colossae. That he's talking about how we ought to dwell in all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. You know, we read in Ephesians, where he wrote to the Ephesians, and he talks about the head of the church as Christ. And he compares it with a husband and a wife. And he says in chapter 5, beginning with verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. You see how he compares Christ and the church and a husband and wife? And those of us who are married can well relate to that. Because there is a certain order, which we read a few weeks ago, where there's a certain order in Christ being the head of the man, and the man the head of the woman, and God the head of Christ. We know that order very well. And so when we look at this and understand what Christ is the head of the church, and once we get can grasp the deep meaning of that, you and I can understand then how we have been baptized into his death and how we've been baptized into his likeness and how we can follow after his footsteps and live his kind of life. Because we're familiar, we understand this. And it's a deep spiritual understanding. And so when we look at the body of Christ, when we look at the body of believers, we are not the only ones. If we think that we're the only ones that are the body of Christ, we got another thing coming. There are a lot of people in this world that belong to the church, that are part of the body of believers. And whether they believe exactly the way we do, that's neither here nor there. But there are people, I believe, there are a lot of people that are the part of the body of believers of Christ. And we will one day spend eternity with them. And so when he talks about the bride, he talks about the body of believers, it's not just us here in West Akron, by any stretch of the imagination. It's throughout this whole world. And all those that have gone on before us, and those that will become behind us. This is all the body. This is the church. And he is the head of it. And he brings us in one at a time. Sometimes it's more. But when he comes and he calls and he knocks on our door, we're to respond. That's why it becomes then a personal responsibility. It becomes a personal Savior. It becomes a personal thing in our lives. Even though we are part of this body. We can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about different operations, different administrations, and different things that there are different parts of the body that are in here. He talks about the eye and the nose and the ears, all these things. They all have to work together. In other words, the foot can't say to the head, I don't need you. Or the head to the arm, I don't need you. I'm okay without. No. No. We're all together. We're one body. We're one piece. One unit. And this is the way we're to live. Individually, to make it collectively, to make this body without blameless and without blemish, that he can present it to his heavenly Father in such a manner. So then, can we grasp the understanding and meaning why it is important for each and every one of us individually to live our lives pleasing in his sight, to serve him the way we know we should and we ought to live the way he should, so that we collectively will be without blame and without blemish. Now, are we? Only God knows that. Only God knows that. But we must do our part in whatever that might be. And so my faithfulness to my Lord depends on what I do, what I say, where I go, so on and so forth. And the same thing with each and every one of you as believers. And I am not going to give answer for you, and you're not going to give answer for me. But we're going to give answer for each other, for as collectively as a church, we're going to be part of this body, but we're going to give answer for our own actions, our own doings, if you will. But yet we're still all together. We can't say that I don't need you, you don't need me, we don't need the sisters, or whatever the case might be. No, we can't say that at all. We need each other. We need to band together. We need to serve one another, love one another, be subject to the scriptures, full of encouragements for each and every one of us to do how we ought to do it and why we ought to do it. And that it all together might bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father and to uplift the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You see, he talks about this here. He says, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principalities and powers. in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And this circumcision, we well know what it is. It's the circumcision of the flesh. We have to cut off the things that the fleshly desires that we have. That's the circumcision it's talking about. And only Christ can do that. As oft times as we try our best, we try to do things on our own, we try to work out this whole thing by ourselves, it's hard. It's hard to do. You can't. You got to rely on Christ. You got to rely on God. You got to depend on Him. And you got to take every little incident, no matter what it is, take it to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help you to overcome whatever that might be. My problem might not be the same as yours. But nevertheless, we pray for one another. We don't know. I know for the past experience that I've just had recently, I felt the prayers of all of you that I felt that deep love for you, for me. That can't explain what that means. I got no words for that. How important that and what that meant to me. And I had people at one end of the country to the other praying for me. Thanks be to God. And that's because I believe that we have that responsibility to stand up for one another, pray for one another, serve one another, love one another. It's the way it's got to be. It's the way it is. And I believe that we have fulfilled those in our lives, in our church here especially. I felt the deep prayers by many of you. Thanks be to God. And so as he goes on to put it, he says, we were buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and in uncircumcision of your flesh, hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And you know, I find that a very key verse. Forgiven us all of our trespasses. You know what that means? That means that he died on the cross, he shed his blood, and then when he shed his blood, that's for all of our sins, all of our trespasses. And he has forgiven us for all of them. Is it any wonder that we should, as brothers and sisters, forgive one another? We have no right. We have no right to hold anything against anyone. There has to be forgiveness. Just as God forgave you, we forgive one another. And Christ said in his words, if you don't forgive your brother, don't expect God to forgive you. It's as simple as that. So there's a deep meaning in all of this as he goes and points out again even that blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You know what that means? Nailing it to the cross? That he hung on the cross. He shed his blood so that we would have forgiveness of our sins. That's the only reason he did it. And that's the thing that you and I, that's the hope, that's the promise that you and I as believers can cling to. And my friend outside of Christ, you can accept and claim the same promises. But you got to believe, you got to trust, you got to obey, you got to follow the ways of the Lord. There's no other way. There's no other name under heaven, as the Bible says. No other name under heaven given whereby we can be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ and him nailing all of our sins on the cross, forgiving us
for all of our trespasses. That's a huge thing. That's a huge thing for us. That's a great promise. But we need to believe it. We need to cling to it. We need to trust him. Take him at his word. And that's what he's doing here for us, even in this evening hour. So he says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made shew of them, openly triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. And let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. And wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are we subject to the ordinances? And then he talks about, again, the flesh that we're so subject to, and how can it can draw us away, it can deter us, it can take us away from taking up our cross daily because of the very things touch not, taste not, and handle not, which perish with the using. These are all fleshly things that every one of us deal with on a daily basis. And this is what he's saying here. After the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things are indeed a shew of wisdom and wind, and in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor of the satisfying of the flesh. And so he goes on to say, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And this is the reason that we might appear with him in glory. This is the reason that he encouraged the church in Colossae to stand fast, hold the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And this is the thing that you and I, even today, must stand fast in the doctrine which we believe and know to be the truth. We hear it oft times. We hear it every Sunday we come to hear and hear the message. It's of the truth. We need to cling to that, hold on to that. In a time when there's so much confusion, there's so much vain deceit and philosophies going around, we can't be fooled. There's people that want to deceive you. There's people that don't believe the way we believe. Let them live the way they want. Let them believe what they want. But you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we know what we stand for, what we believe, and that's according to God's word. And this is the thing that the Apostle Paul drives home every church that he wrote to. Stand fast in the faith and be strong in the Lord. May God bless these words upon our hearts so we can anticipate and look forward to this coming weekend. Amen.
Christ. Such a beautiful truth. The Word of God here says that Jesus, when we were dead in our sins, took us in that dead state and brought us unto him, and hath quickened us together with him, made us alive, and he forgave us all our trespasses. We were dead, we were in the world, he made us alive, he made us to be part of his body. And aren't we so thankful for that truth of how God ordained this, that we would be part of the body of Christ? God doesn't have lone rangers, those that are righteous all by themselves, and they don't need anybody. God has a body, and he has placed us in the body as it has pleased him, the scripture says. And so as if God placed us in the body where it hath pleased him, ours is to labor in the body as it would be according to his will. That's our part. And so we are rooted up and built in him. We're established in the faith. We are steadfast in our faith in Jesus Christ. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And as was iterated in the prayer again, that we are complete in him. We find our fullness in him. We are richer because of each other. We are richer because we are on this body. When I am weak, you are strong. When you are weak, I am strong. And we build each other up. And we strengthen each other's faith. And we encourage each other. And we each do our part. I'm not good at everything. I need your help. Neither is anyone here that would be good in everything. We have our limitations. But God has placed us in the body as it had pleased him. And then ours is to labor in that capacity as God hath placed us. And then we are ready as the bride of Christ. The church, the body of Jesus Christ, is ready to meet him in the air, because we had done our part in being upon the body of Christ. Amen.